And not only to them, Father God, but for everyone that's watching us live right now. And not only that, anyone that will be watching us later, Father God, just reveal yourself to them in a greater way, that they will know you better, that they will grow in their faith because of your word. And Father, we will be so careful to give you all the praise and all the honor and the glory. And I, dear Lord, thank you for the privilege and the honor of ministering your word. In Jesus' name, shout amen. Amen. Now, in the book of Romans, chapter 8, and I want once again to read verse 28. Now, I'm reading from my New King James Bible here. And it says, and we know, remember me telling you last week that it's a good thing to know something. We need to know something, not have to wonder. And we know that all things work together for good. Now, wherever you are right now, wherever you are, whatever you may be dealing with, and that's if you're dealing with anything, we have the Word of God that tells us that all things work together for good. For good. To who? To those who, what? To those who love God. Amen. Now, do I have any witnesses out here? Is anyone want to testify that you love God? If you do, show your hand. Show your hand that you love God. Amen. Now, here's what I want you to do. Here's what I want you to do. Keep that hand up. Now, but I want you to take that other hand you have and raise it up, and then I just want you to look up towards heaven. You know, Jesus would do that. He would look up towards heaven and talk to his Father, wouldn't he? Wouldn't he? So just look up towards heaven and just tell him you love him. Come on, tell him again. Say, Lord, I love you. Hallelujah. Now, while you got your hands up, I don't want your arms to get tired, but while your hands are up and you've already told him that you love him, now you thank him. Say, Father, I thank you that all things are working together for my good because I love you. Hallelujah. Now you can rest your arms a moment. Now let's read it again. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. How many of you know you're called? I didn't say to fivefold ministry. There are many that are called to the fivefold ministry, but all of us are called. We have been called by God to come on into the family of God. Hallelujah. Now, we're going to move on, but I want you to raise your hands again. Raise both of them. And say this. Say, Father, I thank you that all things are working together for my good because I love you and I am called according to your purpose. Thank him for that. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Oh, get that on the inside of you. Get it on the inside of you. Glory to God. Glory to God. Oh, that'll set you free. Amen. Amen. So, having read verse 28, I'm just going to stay right here, because the Word of God has more to say. Because and I'm going to read 28, and then I'm going to go on into verse 29. It says, "And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren." Oh, hallelujah. "Moreover," this is verse 30, "whom he predestined, these he also called. Whom he called, these he also justified. And whom he justified, these he also glorified." Now, you've heard me preach this before, but I'm preaching again. Hallelujah. "We were known by God before the foundation of the world." Hallelujah. "We were known by God before the foundation of the world." Before anything was ever formed out here, God already had my blessings waiting on me to arrive. I was born in downtown in the town limits of Chesterfield, South Carolina. That's where I was born. Now, you folks, many of you, many of you, you were either born in a hospital. I know all of our children were born in a hospital, and maybe some of you were born in a clinic. Like sis over here, she was born in a clinic. My sister was born in a clinic. I didn't have that privilege. I was born at home, in the house. The doctor made a house call. Hallelujah. And that's where I was born. My parents lived at that time in town limits of Chesterfield. They took me and showed me that little house that I was born in. My parents did. It's no longer there. But they showed me that little house that I was born in. I can imagine. And I'm just talking about me. The same applies to you. You listen to me? The same applies to you. But I can imagine now. Here I am, this little baby that God knew before the foundation of the world, and that's you too. And he had blessings upon blessings upon blessings waiting on me to arrive. And I can just kind of imagine in my own mind that when I was born into this world, the angels announcing, "He's here." What about you? "He's here, she's here." Glory to God. He knew about you. He knew about me. So, again, verse 29, for whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be what? Conformed to the image of his Son. to be conformed to the image of his son. We were all born with a purpose. God didn't just send us here just so we could breathe his free air and not amount to anything. Amen. And by the way, let's pray that air stay free. Because if they can ever figure out a way to measure it, they'll charge you for it. I was amazed when I found out you had to buy water. Anybody else? I know I'm dating myself here, but you know, I thought you can act. They are actually bottling water. You got to be kidding me! But it's true, and you have to pay for it. Amen. So we were predestined to be formed in the image of his son. Now I know some have taken that and went wild with it, took it in the wrong direction, and said, well, you know, we were all predestined and God knew we were coming and so some of us was predestined for heaven, some predestined to hell or whatever. No. 1,000 times no, 1,000,000 times no. That's not what the Word of God is saying. Amen. Put 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9 on the screen for me, please. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. Second Peter chapter 3, verse 9. Glory to God. Now, listen at what 2 Peter 3, 9 says. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is longsuffering toward us, what? Not willing that any should perish, but what? But that all should come to repentance. See, you have to understand, God sent Jesus here for all of us to be saved, for all of us to accept him. Now, the fact of the matter is, though, God gave each and every one of us a free will. We can choose to receive Jesus and walk with him, or we can choose to reject him. Isn't that right? But the will of God is that we all be saved and not perish. In the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 12, it says, but as many, now hear this, the Gospel of John 12, but as many as received him, as many as received him, to them matter of fact, let's I want you to see it. Let's read it. The Gospel of John, chapter 1. Hallelujah. See, it's God's will that all be saved, but we also know that not all are going to be saved, but it's not God's fault. Amen. You got it? Verse 12, Gospel of John. But as many as received him, to them he gave what? Power, or New King James Version say the right, to become children of God. To who? To who? to those that believe in his name. To those that believe in his name. So if you don't believe in him, you do not have eternal life. You're not a child of God if you don't believe in him. Now, it's God's will, though, that all be saved. You're still here. All right, now, let's go back over to Romans chapter 8. I just wanted to point that out to you because there are some folks says, it don't matter what I do. I don't have to get saved because whatever the will of the Lord is, you know, if God's will that I go to heaven, then I go to heaven. If God's will that I just die and rot in the ground, then that's what's going to happen. No, 1,000 times no. We all, hallelujah. I'm just wondering, there's something that I have been wondering about, and I believe the Lord has given me the answer that I've been looking for, and I'm just wondering if I need to share it with you right now. Maybe I'll share it later, not right now, but God is good. God is good. God is so good that he did not make you and me a robot. He gave us freedom of choice. Hallelujah. He gave us freedom of choice. Hallelujah. Isn't that good? Whew. Thank you, Jesus. All right, let's move on. I didn't mean to bring that up and then not continue with it. I might. At some other time, but bless me. Hallelujah. When I feel a release of the Lord, I'll share it. If not, I won't. Glory to God. So, verse 29, are you back at Romans chapter 8? Verse 29, for whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be formed in the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, this is verse 30, moreover, whom he predestined, oh, I love this. Moreover, whom he predestined, these he also called. Look at somebody and tell them, I'm called. Say, I've been called. Amen. And I want to say, every one of you that's watching me right now, whether you're born again or not, I have an announcement for you. You have been called. My question to you is, are you going to answer the call? The choice is yours. One day I answered the call. Change my life. Glory to God. I love verse 30. Moreover, whom he predestined, these he also called. Listen to this. Whom he called, these he also what? justified. Hallelujah. I am justified. What do you mean justified? Because I answered the call, I have now been placed in right standing with God through Jesus Christ, my Lord. I am justified. I like the way I heard someone say it. I am now just as if I've never been lost. I am right with him through Jesus Christ. I have his spirit living on the inside of me, just as if I have never sinned, just as if I'd never been a sinner. Amen. You know, too many Christians want to focus on the sinner part. Well, you know, I'm just a sinner, you know. I'm just a sinner. Now, thank the Lord for his grace, but I'm just a sinner. I'm just a sinner. Well, you can be a sinner if you want to. I used to be one. Am I perfect? No. None of us are. But I used to be a sinner. But now I'm saved by his grace. Amen. I'm not calling myself a non-Christian. Hallelujah. So, to them he called, he also justified. And to those he justified, what else did he do? Oh, he glorified us. Glory to God. He raised us up to a heavenly dignity. That's what the Amplified Bible says. A heavenly dignity. I'm not the old person I used to be. I don't need to act like the person I used to be. God has taken me up, and you too, to another level. And what did the word say? The just shall live by faith. The just shall live by faith. We've been taken up another level. We've been glorified. Hallelujah. And that's the reason, see, that's the reason Jesus Christ is called our elder brother. He's the firstborn of many brethren. In other words, we can. We can. We in the family of God. Hallelujah. My goodness, time's getting away from me, and I haven't even got where I meant to go yet. So we understand then that we've been called, justified, and glorified. We've been raised to a level of honor and respect. They know who we are in heaven. I said they know who we are in heaven. Our names have been written in the heavenly book. Well, you might say, Pastor, I've been knowing all that a long time. Mm-hmm. That's good. Let's start acting like it. Let's start talking like it. Let's start rejoicing like it. Now, this brings us to my next point. Having read verse 28, 29, and 30, let's look at verse 31. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, is he for us? If God is for us, who can be against us? Now let me add a little addition to my subject. I told you my subject, working for my good. Add this to it, the power of God's love. The power of God's love. So then, if God be for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son. Now, sometime I would like to encourage you to sit down and think about verse 32. He who did not spare his own son. But delivered him up for us all. I just want you to ponder that. I just want you to meditate on that. In your quiet time, I want you to go back to verse 32, Romans 8, 32, and just read that over and over. That's your homework. That's your homework. Put 32 on the screen for me, please, Romans 8, 32. And I want you to go and I want you to read it without any distraction. He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all. In other words, you can make it personal. He did not spare his own son, but he delivered him up for me. Then how shall he not with him, his son, also give, this is making it personal, give me all things. Give me everything I need. You need to meditate on that. You need to let the Spirit of God speak to you on that. Think about that for a moment right now. Think about it right now. You know, I keep hearing about people being lonely and depressed and just beat down. And I know some of these people are not born again. They don't know Jesus. But let me tell you what, that same old spirit will try to get a hold of you if you don't deal with it. You hear what I'm saying? But we, listen, brothers and sisters, we have got to learn who we are in him. And we've got to learn that he loves us so much and that God is not against us. He is for us. He is for you, and he did not spare his own son, his only begotten son. He gave him up. Adam fell, sold out to the devil, and there was no one qualified to redeem us back but Christ. Jesus. And God gave him up for us. And he wants us to know that if I gave you my son, think about it now, if I gave you my son, if I gave you my only begotten son, then why do you think I will not give you everything you need? Freely through him. I'll give you what you need. I gave my son for you. I love you that much. I gave my son for you. Why are you hesitating to come to me? We've been told to come boldly before the throne of grace that we might find help in our time of need, grace, mercy, and so forth, in our time of need. But let me tell you something. You've got to, listen, you've got to get this in your spirit. Because all the voices out here are contradicting Romans 8:32. The voices in the world are contradicting Romans 8:32. God said, I gave you everything I had. And I did it because I love you. I bought you back. Why do you think I don't love you, that I got something against you? Oh, yes, there's a wrath of God. And it's coming against those, especially in tribulation, those who hate God, those who reject him. But you know what? We're living in a time now where you say, Lord Jesus, I come to you. And God says, I'll receive you. Remember, Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 12, to as many as receive them. God gave them power or the privilege or the right to become a child of God. To as many as received him. Amen. Put 8:32 back up there, Romans 8:32. I want you to get this in your spirit. You've got to know that God is on your side. Now, you know, your Christian brother or sister may not tell you that. Some people don't wish you well. There used to be a song, I don't even remember, maybe, there used to be a song years and years ago. Some of you may remember it, and I don't even know the title of the song. It's just one part of the song I remembered. But if any of you remember the song, you ain't got to name it, anything, just raise your hand if you remember. But it says, God's going to get you for that. Okay, yeah, there's. God's going to get you for that. Well, oh, this was a gospel song. Yeah, God's going to get you for that. Well, God ain't trying to get you. He's trying to help you. That's the reason we have 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. God don't want to get us. He gave his son for us. Now, yes, if we reject God, or even as Christians, we do things our way, and rather than the way we know that's right, we're going to get in trouble. And what do we need to do? Don't blame God for trying to get you. What you need to do is repent. Amen. If I stick my hand in the fire and I get burned, I can't blame God for that. Can't blame God for that. That was my doing. Sometimes we do stuff and we blame it on God and God got me for that. No, you did something crazy. So what you need to do is repent and don't do it no more. God is on our side. Are we going to have pressures in life? You better believe it. Are you going to have opposition? Yes. It's all in the Word of God, folks. The devil's not in the pit yet. There's going to be opposition. There's going to be trials. There's going to be tribulation. But God wants us to know what? I'm on your side. And I gave my son for you. And I'm not going to leave you. I'm going to give you everything you need. Amen. Give me about two or three more minutes. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And it goes on to say, who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died. And furthermore, is also risen. Amen. It's a blessing that he died, but it's a greater blessing that he rose from the dead. Hallelujah. Who is even at the right hand of God? If you got a Bible that you can mark in, underline this. Who also makes intercession for us. Jesus is at the right hand of God. Who, underline this, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. It's good to know that Jesus Christ has me on his mind 24/7. It's not his will for me to fail. And if I choose not to be hard-headed and stubborn, but follow him, I will make it through every situation victoriously. You will too. Amen. Why are some people so bullheaded? Anybody know? But some are. Hallelujah. Who shall separate us? This is verse 35. I'm bringing this to a close. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation? Mm-mm. Distress? Persecution? What about famine? Oh, you know, if you're going through a time of lack, you know, folks like to think, well, God's left us. I mean, you know, I let's move on. Or nakedness. Or pearl, or sword. As it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Everybody say yet. Come on. Yet in all these things we are what? 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 Yet in all these things, we are more than a conquerors through him who what? Hallelujah. And I like, you know, the Apostle Paul wrote this, but we need to say the same thing he's saying here. He says, I'm persuaded. We need to get persuaded. He says, I'm persuaded that neither death nor life. In other words, death or even the aggravations of life, the things we have to deal with in life. Nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers. That's principalities and powers of darkness. Nor things present, nor things to come. I love this. Nor things to come. Well, we don't know what's down the road. We don't know what we got to go through. We don't know. How does the song go, Terry? He knows my future. Somebody help me out here. You sing it. Yeah, life is worth the living because he lives. But there's another part of it I'm trying to grab a hold right now. Somebody help me real quick. We won't be here all night. Yeah, that is, because he lived. That's what I'm looking for. Because he lived. I can face tomorrow. Because he lived. I can face tomorrow. Let's look back at 38 again, verse 38. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to do what? Separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And yea, let me go back. Yea, in all these things, we are more than conquerors. All things work together for my good, because I love God and because I'm called according to his purpose. And I have the Lord Jesus seated on the right hand of God, the Father, interceding for me. He's on my side and your side. Shout, I'm going to make it. Shout, I'm more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus, my Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And I put the last thing I put in my notes was amen. Father, we thank you for your love. Oh, hallelujah.